Well, it's time for podcast 880, and we are getting ready to roll very, very early in the morning this morning. Rolling out of Virginia, going down into Southern Virginia, and then down into North Carolina on our way to Chattanooga, as you're going to hear throughout this podcast. Podcast 880, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Yeah, this is the last podcast of November and the beginning of the return trip to Minneapolis and St. Paul. And what we're struggling and working with as I get up here at 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready to roll out is this weather situation in the north central United States. You'll hear me talk about that a little bit in this podcast because it kept being a problem all day long. Just for people to know, one of the great tools is, I think it's called My Radar or something like that. I'll put a link to the app. If you're traveling, you should have this because you can check your radar. You can check radar anytime all over the United States. And it's been super handy for trying to plot a route because it's really hard to... I got the truck warming up here. It's really hard to... figure out what the weather's going to do, especially this time of year. You have to really watch it. So that's what I'm doing with that, and I'll tell you all about that in this podcast. One of the things about travel is you pass all these amazing places. It doesn't matter where you are. Even if you're traveling around Minnesota, you're traveling through rural Minnesota, you see these places and you're like, God, I'd love to own a place like that. So if you're buying or selling real estate, the real question is whether or not you have a good lawyer, because having a lawyer there at the close, having a lawyer from the start that you can ask and get information from about whether or not something is a good idea is so important. So whether it's your first house, rental property, downsizing, whether or not you found the house that you definitely want, or you're just buying a house to invest in, you got to have a lawyer heading to the close, and you should have Tim LaCroix of LaCroix Law involved from the get-go, because he can tell you what you're signing. You know, one of the things that I think is really interesting about the way things are today is people sign things and they don't know what they're signing. And this is where having an attorney to help you with the real estate law and your real estate investments is so, so important. Tim LaCroix has the experience, the knowledge, especially for home buyers that are first-time home buyers. Real estate can be complex. As I said, when people are handed a pen, they often sign things they don't understand. Don't forget the most important step of all when it comes to real estate. Get Tim LaCroix, LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys, residential, commercial, contractor, and construction, residential rentals, mortgage and community associations, and more. Call Tim LaCroix at 763-226-0758. If you click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, that takes you to Tim's LinkedIn page, and he can communicate with you and find out what your deal is that way. Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys. Said, I just want to say thanks for the donations for the mobile podcast command unit at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the, go to the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of mobile podcast command down in Texas. You'll see a donate button. Click on that and you can send me money if you want. I really appreciate it because it goes right into the tank. And I may have to buy tires on the trip, so we'll see. I'm watching the tires very closely at this point in time. Also, you can get the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can subscribe to the RSS feed there, listen to streaming audio, pick individual podcasts, listen to them. You can also subscribe at iTunes. Nothing like a TA. You can subscribe at iTunes and tune in. I recommend Spotify for Android devices. Lots of other places where the podcasts are available. I do appreciate the likes on social media, but really what's important are the shares for the stuff I post. That helps me. And thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast all the way through. I'm having such a good time, and I hope that these travel podcasts are great for you. Welcome to leg one of the trip to Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I've decided to go across the southern tier just because of weather issues in Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's about 6 o'clock on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So we've been making preparation, got the ice out of the freezer, put it back in the cooler. I'm going to break some things down here, and we're going to start the vehicle. One of the things I like to do, it's really not that cold out there. It's about 40 degrees in Richmond, and I'm not in Richmond, but, you know, close to Richmond. I turn the block heater on if I've got a good power source, and I have an excellent power source here. So I'm going to turn the block heater's on. I'm going to start. It's great because this truck has a block heater resident in it. You just turn this light switch on the seat, right behind the seat, and it helps obviously keep the juices flowing. And it starts just like a summer day, which is something I'm really excited about. So, there we go. Okay, good. Flight attendants, prepare for departure, cross check. Let me turn off the exhaust fan and the patient heat and cool. I just stopped in Danville, Virginia. Danville. And I'm in the Food Lion parking lot in Danville, Virginia, which is just at the 29 cutoff. We're going to take 29 down into North Carolina. And the reason is we're headed to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and points west. The reason that I'm doing this is that to the north, this storm system that dumped some snow in Minnesota and rain pretty much all the way across the central Midwest, heavy rains, I'm trying to avoid. It's raining here, but see, the reason for taking the southern route is the temperature is roughly high 40s. So rain is no problem as long as we're in the high 40s. I'd prefer to avoid bad weather. Once I get down south into North Carolina, I'll be on a longitudinal line that heads straight west to Chattanooga. So we're going to go 29 south to our next objective, which is North Carolina. I've got the list here, but it's in the front. So the plan here is to go into the Food Lion, get some eggs and bacon and some other things. I've got a steak, and just want to make sure I've got provisioning. And then we're going to go ahead and head down 29 and then turn west towards Chattanooga, Tennessee. So let's go into the Food Lion. We leave the ambulance running, mainly because I noticed this morning that the battery wasn't charged, so we're just going ahead and let it run so that the battery's charged and maintain the charge. And we lock up. We just go ahead and head on into the Food Lion. Back at the TA in Asheville, North Carolina, and, you know, I've been watching this storm all day that is heading across the north central part of the United States, and up in the northern part of the country, it's snow, and that is a harbinger of what is to come, which is lots of cold, 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 and that makes me think of frozen pipes. It makes me think of heating systems that fail, and of course, all these things should be checked if possible before it gets really cold. But if you have problems this winter, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping these systems working, Ryan Plumbing and Heating has the expertise to do that, because what they do is quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. When they go down, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating as well. In St. Paul, you can call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. That is rain, people. Again, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to their website. Ryan goes back four generations in St. Paul's Frogtown, and they go metro-wide from St. Paul. So it doesn't matter where you are in the metro. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. One of the things I'm keeping my eye on as I travel is manufacturing and all this talk of foreign trade and bringing manufacturing back to the United States. Companies are preparing to do just that. And if this is you, well, this is very interesting because lots of foreign companies are also bringing their manufacturing back to the United States. And if you're in the decision-making chain for a major corporation, American or foreign, don't forget Depot Start because they are a fantastic manufacturing company. Remember, Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing, right here in Minnesota. Visit Depot Star at Depot Star, DepotStar, DepotStar.com. I'm trying to think if I need anything else. I think just eggs and bacon is all I need at this point. This is the last podcast of November. How you doing? Good. Where's all the bacon?
Bacon's in the back wall. A bit of boy standing.
Okay.
Right past him.
Thank you. Coming at you. Thanks much. Oh, the things we have to do on the road. Couple of quick thoughts about 360 and the route here. We're angling down because Chattanooga is considerably south of where I was in Virginia. You know, a couple of thoughts. You know, you think about the Civil War, and there was an awful lot of activity down around this region after about 1863 and a half to 64 as the northern... The Union moved troops down into this region, and they were fighting to get to Richmond, or they were fighting in the west and headed toward Atlanta. So there was a lot of activity down in here, and it's really interesting because this is a tight little spot. North Carolina, Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee and Western Virginia, that whole region, and there are plaques all over the place that denote battles during this period of time. Small battles, sometimes just little skirmishes, sometimes just places where they, you know, bivouacked or set up camps or whatever it is that they do. And you see that. So, you know, it's important to understand that when you get to... So these places like Danville, Virginia, and the towns along 360, which is a U.S. route, and it's really nice... Virginia has great highways, and 360 is definitely a two-lane separated medium, but the medium, the other lanes are not really visible very often, so you're really on two lanes going the same way. You don't really notice the other side half the time. It's a great highway, really smooth, really well-maintained, and of course, it's a historic highway as well, so... we're going to jump on 29 because we're going down into North Carolina and we're going to go over to Asheville. And then Asheville will pick up another route that will take us straight on into Chattanooga. So what we're going to do here is we're going to go 29 south to North Carolina 158. But we have to take 29 business because 158 doesn't connect all the way to the... freeway version, for lack of a better term, of 29. So we're going to watch very carefully for business 29, and when we see it, we got to jump on business 29 and head south on 29 to pick up 158, which then kind of angles us down into Asheville, which is quite some ways from here. So we picked up 29 business south and came down to Reidsville, where we're just about to pick up 158 west. And I want to talk briefly about the disappearance of the two-lane highway in the United States, because something I've noticed here is happening. This is another really interesting thing that I've uncovered, and this is why I travel. I know that there is some developing controversy that roads are bad and that highways and roads really cause a lot of problems, and we shouldn't be building roads and highways like we are. The one thing that I noticed, so two-lane highways, what's the origin of the two-lane highway? Well, county roads, township roads, village roads, and ultimately national highways. And it all started with the canal system in the United States, this method of being able to move freight and to a certain extent people through up and down rivers, which were the original superhighways in the United States. Around 1900, and I believe primarily after the war, they started working on the national highway system. I've linked to it a bunch of times. When people talk about highways, generally what you get on Google is you get interstates. But really, I'm talking about the national highway system. So these are the U.S. routes. Route 30, Route 33, Route 66 would be one of the most famous. These were the national highways that linked up the whole country. And if you get to copy, use the link from the podcast, which I'll post on the blog at thebobdavispodcast.com, you'll see a whole national highway system. So in the 30s, these were relatively new. Most people didn't travel that much, least of all by car, because it was considered unsafe and cars were considered relatively undependable. So people took the train. You know, and we don't want to forget the train system as well. So the national highway system was, I would say, and I haven't looked it up, and I hate this now because you feel like everybody's going to Google what you say and go, oh, you're wrong. But the national highway system was really designed for trucking and for the ability to move goods and services around the country because there was a need for that. Most of the highways were really bad at the time. So these would have been the national highways that people like Bonnie and Clyde and John Dillinger used to get around a lot faster than the authorities really realized. And they were brand new in the 1920s and 30s. This is primarily the two-lane road network across the country. This is US 33 through West Virginia was what I took. So there's an old US 33 and a new US 33. A little controversy about that. But what's starting to happen is these U.S. highways, the national highway systems, are being taken over by first expressways. So I just was down 29, which is the expressway from Danville, Virginia, right on the River Dan there, which comes all the way down let me just check the quick map where I'm headed. I'm not headed all the way to Charlotte, but 29 goes to Greensboro. And then over to Winston-Salem. I'm actually going to Asheville. And what I'm doing is angling down through that area, and I don't want to be on the interstate. So I'm going to be taking back roads through Winston-Salem and all the way over to Asheville, and then I'll be able to get on, the 64 and then ultimately 11 to get to Chattanooga. Now, it's slow, but you go slower and it's more enjoyable, in my personal opinion, to travel that way. There's a lot of observations. The thing that I was going to say is we used to travel a lot by car when I was a kid. In the United States, we would go from Chicago to Florida. And I realize now that during that period of time, the national highway system was still under construction. And so we had to get off the national highway. The interstate. We'd have to get off the interstate every now and then, and we travel through these small towns. And so I now realize, by being here on Business 29, about to cut over on 158, that we probably got off the highway at lots of different places in these small centers, and some of them are in better shape than others. So out, you can see already that the arrival of the expressway, so 29 as an expressway, which will soon become 785, which is going to be referred to as a corridor, has had its effect on 29, where you pass these rundown buildings that used to be hotels or gas stations and things of that nature. And so you might be a little shocked at that, but the action is over on the bigger version of the highway. So these two-lane roads are fading in America, especially in the East, where cities that used to be not so big are so close together. Greensboro, Charlotte, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point, Durham, to a lesser extent, Asheville. These are, Charlotte is a really big city now compared to, I think Charlotte's probably bigger than Richmond at this point. It's interesting to note that southern cities, which used to be considered small, are now large, and so the highway systems have to be expanded to accommodate that. And so what we're used to with these two-lane roads in the South are rapidly disappearing and being subsumed by, if you'll allow the word, by these larger highway corridors. 785, for example, I'm sure where I'm sitting right now will be gone because they're going to widen the interstate. They're going to take the expressway and they're going to have to widen and expand and put in exit ramps and everything else. These are big public works projects, and of course they're usually touted by local authorities and local congressmen, and everybody wants to get their name on an exit ramp or freeway and or expressway, whatever you call it, interstate interchange or something to that effect in these towns. And so what's happening is the two-lane roads that people like myself are so enamored of because they really give you an idea of what's going on in America are increasingly remote. They're in remote places because the interstates are taking over the two lanes. All right, let's head on down here to Reidsville. I'm waiting because people get behind you and they tailgate, so I don't like that. I'm just waiting for these cars to get out of the way. An amazing amount of traffic on Saturday morning, but I guess it's Black Friday weekend, so people are rushing around to try to get the best deals. So here we go. We're heading to 158. So I want to talk about something that's happening, and it's probably happening all over the country. And it happens all the time, and you don't notice it because it's your town, and they're doing improvements to the highways, and, you know, you don't think about it. And there's two things I want to talk about. Why I don't like interstates, first of all. And what's happening to America's back roads. First of all, I was on 158. Everything was great. Drove into Winston-Salem. And, of course, what they're doing is they're building this big 785, what they call corridor. So they're building a new interstate that I would assume connects up all of these major arteries with these several cities that are in this particular region. You know, Winston-Salem, Charlotte, and so forth. Greensboro, High Point. Now, they have, as those towns have grown originally, they were relatively small towns in the South. As the South has grown, then these cities have also grown. They're very prosperous, big now cities, and the freeway system is probably overtaxed. So what they're doing is they're going to build this giant interchange and call it the 785 corridor, and I would assume it's just going to consolidate all these main freeways. And so 158, I was waiting to go through the 158 interchange to become 64. And, of course, you hit the construction and it's a detour because it just stops because you get to a point where 158 was and it's nothing. There's nothing there because they're bulldozing the whole thing to build this huge interchange. So, in frustration, finally, I realized that 158 becomes 64 at Mocksville, and then 64 becomes 70, and 70 is all the way over to Chattanooga, basically. It becomes 11, and then you take that into Chattanooga. And so I thought, okay, I Googled Mocksville anyway, so I just hit start, and it took me up 40 a little bit, and then I got off, and now I'm on 64, and I've been crisscrossing 40 all along. And, you know, the bottom line here is that if you want to stay on the back roads, you have to fight for it. Because in almost every situation, and this has happened several times this trip, especially down here, there either the state road isn't, or, well, the two-lane version of the national highway, as I earlier explained, isn't well marked, and you get lost, or the thing just ends because they're building a new freeway. And so you got to really pay attention to where you're going and what you're doing. And here I am right now in this confusing situation now, and I don't know whether I'm on 64 or not here. So, see what I'm saying? This gets really nutty. And you have to stop, and thank God for Google, because you'd have to do this with a map if you didn't have Google. I have to stop here at the Food Lion and pull up, and then pull Google up and just make sure I'm still on 64, because I don't want that to happen. So you have to fight to be on these two-lane roads, and they were always extremely difficult. And why don't I like the interstate? It's very simple. I don't like the interstate because so here's another example of how this two-lane thing can get crazy. So I've been on 64. 64 is now going to become 70 at Statesville. So you have to really be careful when you come through here because it's gonna switch over to 70, and sometimes they take all the signs down and you don't know what road you're on. I'm on the right road. So very quickly, I want to tell you, because I'm going to have to pay close attention, why I don't like the interstate. Most of the time in most parts of the country, the interstate is two lanes. It's not three lanes, it's not four lanes, it's not even six lanes or whatever it is usually when you go. You get to a major city and you get to a beltway or something like that, 494 and 495 in Washington, 694 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and you've got three, four lanes. So you've got maneuver power, right? You get on these interstates and they're two lanes. Got to head on into Statesville here. And traffic today, for example, traffic is really heavy. And because it's a Saturday and it's Thanksgiving weekend, people are going to and from. They're going out to the sales and so forth. The scourge of freeway driving, as far as I'm concerned, is cruise control. And what happens is these people get on these interstates, they see the speed limit, and they enter the speed limit in their cruise control, and that's that. So if the speed limit is 65, their car is going 65, right? The only problem with that is speed varies on the interstate. And what happens is these people just don't pay any attention to how fast the car is going, and they run up behind people. Then they have to change lanes, and they get in the left lane, right? And in the left lane, now they're only going just fast enough because they've had to pass. And so what happens is you get these people running up against you, you know, pacing you in traffic, and I don't use cruise control, so it's not a problem for me to go faster or slower depending on what I need to do. And what happens is cars bunch up because they're all on cruise control. And it's really irritating and really dangerous because once you're next to somebody, if somebody turns or does something they're not supposed to do, guess what? They're going to hit somebody. And then that's going to be a huge problem. So as I try to figure out where I am here, I'm on 64 now. Good. So just weaving through Statesville. North Carolina. And, you know, I don't mind this at all because I get to see Statesville. I get to see the plaque that says Stoneman's Raid. I get to see the town, not the exit. So cruising on these roads is just really, the back road thing is all about it, but you have to fight to be on the back road because, you know, more and more, they're basically disappearing in these medium-sized cities as they consolidate all of the freeways because of growth. Well, that was some crazy driving. Let me tell you, the reason that I took the southern route was to avoid the really bad winter storm and rain that's going on in the northern part of the United States. Apparently, my son's in Asheville, North Carolina, just for the weekend. So we were just talking, and he was like, well, my God, you're in Asheville. You're going to be in Asheville. I'm here. So we made plans to get together at this Starbucks just below the Biltmore Mansion in Asheville. And I had to haul ass because I was an hour and a half from here on 70, which is a lot of stop and go and slow and go and slow and go. Meanwhile, beautiful scene of the cloud cover coming down and the rain coming over the mountains. Now we're getting into the Smoky Mountains, right? And the Blue Ridge Trail. And so I was really pushing on 70. The rain started to fall, got on 40, just hopped. There's a certain point where 70 just ends and becomes 40. And then we had to go up, 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 up in the pouring rain, and then down, 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 down in the pouring rain. But I had to make it in an hour and a half by 5 o'clock. It's 4:54, so I made it. And I'm going to go in and continue the holiday fun. Well, Thanksgiving is over. Some people are relieved. And, of course, Christmas is coming. And this means people in the house. And most people have probably looked around at their kitchen or a basement room or a garage or some part of the house, and they've thought, we really should work on an addition. It would make a huge difference. So I want to tell you about Whitetail Builders. Whitetail Builders Randy Graybow is telling me that if you're planning on doing an addition in the spring, it takes some planning and forward development. And this is where Whitetail Builders comes in, because maybe 2020 or the final few weeks of 2019 is the time you'll finally decide to finish the basement, add a bathroom, or really work on that kitchen so that you can have as many butts as possible in the seats in the kitchen next Thanksgiving. So, and yes, I am happy to refer you to Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota, because they will be with you from start to finish. Call Randy Graybow at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Well, I'm ending the evening at the TA in just near Asheville on I-40 in the Smoky Mountains. And tomorrow we'll take the big step to head on up to the mountains and then down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I will tell you, this is the last podcast of November. This has been a grueling trip. It's been a great trip so far, but it has been grueling because I have really been on deadline with producing these podcasts and blogging them up. And so I've been driving and podcasting and driving and podcasting and at night blogging, which is something I love to do. And I love the whole thing. Love doing these travel podcasts for you guys. And I've gotten some great reaction to it. But I'm going to relax for a couple days as I head back and try to figure a way to pick my way through the weather on the way back up. Will I go straight up through Indiana and take 41 on up to the Chicago area and swing over to Minnesota and Wisconsin? Or will I go further west or down and come through Arkansas and come straight up through Missouri? We will see. Thanks for listening to Podcast 880, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Once again, sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Don't forget heating checks, and if you have problems, call Ryan. Check him out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 880, the Bob Davis Podcasts. What am I doing? No, I'm podcasting.